You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 12th, 2015, and we're going to boot up our Windows 95 instance to look for her story.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name's Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games. Video games, they're a big, wide, encompassing space.
There's space for everyone in these old video games.
There's space for everybody. And that includes what some people are calling an interactive movie, a little game called Her Story. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to talk about this game for a while.
Yes.
It was released earlier this year, I think in June. It was released in June. It's by this fellow named Sam Barlow. And it is a interesting piece of interactive fiction. Mm-hmm. The thing that stands out the most upon a first viewing, it's entirely an FMV for the most part.
There is a UI,
but for the most part, the story of Her Story is told entirely through very short clippets of interviews of a particular woman. Mm. The actress Viva Seifert plays the role very well as well. And all of the entire game is essentially typing in keywords to find very short clips of an interview. Mm. And the interview is because somebody was murdered. Mm. You quickly learn the person's name was Simon. Mm. And it may or may not have been her husband.
Foul play is afoot.
Something evil is afoot.
Yeah.
All of the questions that she answers are answered without context. Mm-hmm. There's no way for you to know what question was asked. So you only get her side of the story.
Yeah.
This is going to be another one of our debriefs. Mm-hmm. However, I think there's a lot we can talk about in terms of the way this story is told.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to get into the story. And I have to
listen as you tell me what this game okay. is about.
Well, and then on top of that, the way that the story is told, I think, is really important to what the story is about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage everybody to listen to that first part, and then if that is at all interesting, play the game. It's pretty short. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, I'll also say that you can get through. I mean, this is like a few hours of a commitment, probably.
Correct. Yeah. What I will say, though, and listen to me because I did not do it this way, I would highly recommend you play as much as you can in one foul swoop.
Oh, yeah.
Like, play in one session.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to forget certain tidbits of information.
Yeah.
And I think the joy of this game is in the way that your mind works at its peak of thread unraveling.
Yeah, right? It should be a nice turn off podcasts or whatever and actually play this yes. game as just a single focused experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Side note, I should say, I also think you should play this game, if possible, with other people in the room.
Yeah, I was hearing some people. I didn't have the chance to do it, but I heard multiple people say that they had either one or two other people that they were kind of doing an investigation together as if they were like an investigation team.
Yeah, you know? I think that's such a cool way. I kind of wish we were playing it together. It would have been a really cool experience. Let's start out with a little bit about what this game is and then how that type of experience can be told in a video game.
Are people giving this game guff for like not being a game?
If they are, I'm not paying attention
okay.
to them.
I didn't know. I hadn't been paying attention either, but this is like you were saying, this is a It's basically a text adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically a text adventure. It's gotten really positive reviews for the most part as well.
Yeah.
I think hands down, this is a just detective story. Mm-hmm. Boom. It is a detective story. Yeah. You are an investigator. Almost in a sort of, in a weird way, like some of the text adventures or, you know, Professor Layton games in a sort of bizarre way, right? You go about, you collect information, you put the story together.
It's a mystery without imminent danger.
Yeah. So, in your mind, like, are there other examples of detective stories or other mysteries in game form that you can think of? And, like, how do they tell their stories differently than this?
I've never played this game. I think it's actually a board game or a card game. It's called Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, this is a board game that comes in the form of, like, papers and articles.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of people talk, because it gives you a set number of mysteries in the game or whatever, mm-hmm. and you play against the game, so to speak, to try to figure out the mystery.
If you're interested, Scott, I could just go buy this board game. I mean, if you'd play with me, I'd gladly buy that.
I mean, I've heard many people talk about it, and I was thinking about it when I was playing Her Story, because it's like, no, maybe this is one of the closer things. Because, like, really, there are many different interpretations that you could go with for this story, I think. And it is about piecing together disparate pieces of information rather than, like, unlocking stages of things. Yeah.
In a way, I also thought back to the sort of audio log finding components of stories like BioShock or even like Amnesia, right?
You could find things out of order and
You find audio clips out of order. They're scattered throughout the levels. You sort of have to put the context onto it as you learn more about the world, right? Mm. When you're dumped into Rapture, or you're dumped into what's the BioShock Infinite world?
Columbia.
When you're dumped into Columbia, you don't entirely know what's going on. You hear audio bits that are more about the world than they are about explaining the story, right? Yeah. So you might find an audio log that's like, oh, I went to a dance today and it was great, but then everything got broken up by splicers or something. Mm. You don't know what splicers is. You don't know who these people are, who are even talking, but what you do know is that there was a party, so presumably there was some time of kind of celebration, and then this group or organization broke them up. Mm. That tells you a lot about the world in a way that's telling you sort of individually about the world.
Mm.
I think in many ways, this is just that, but all of the audio logs are videos, and they're just put together randomly, and you find them on your own.
Yeah, agreed. I think that makes sense.
And to that end, I could see people disliking this game if they dislike that same level of world building, because that's a particular type of world building.
Yeah. I think the key there is that it's that type of world building, and it's also conveyed in a very bespoke way. You are logged in to like a police terminal,
an old one from like 1994.
Yeah, you're looking at something from the mid 90s, and it's made to look like an old kind of Windows 95 desktop environment. I'm probably just going to write a bigger post about this, but it's kind of the video game equivalent of theaters play within a play is like a computer within a computer. So like you have a computer interface, you have a files section, you have a trash, you even have like a little game that you can play back and forth.
I mean, it's not unlike analog. Hate story.
Exactly. But... Yeah. What was that? Digital. Yeah. Digital love story is very similar because that's like a BBS. And this is more of like the mid 90s Windows interface. I think that's like the gimmick of this game.
Yes.
And that gimmick is used to justify the rules of the game.
Correct.
Because the database is fragmented and you can't call a directory and you can't do a few different things. Like you can't look at things linearly. You have to kind of enter search terms that are all somewhere on the back end database. You know, you search for murder and it gives you 10 hits and you can look at each one of those video clips.
Right. Well, in fact, you get 10 clips, but you can only look at 5 at a time.
Right.
So as a result, you end up trying to like dig deeper by going in strange routes, patching things together that are set offhand, right? So if the character says something like, oh, I had a cat, and that in that same clip, she talks about a murder and really that's what you want to know about, you might search for the term cats and get 3 more references to murder that are further down the murder list.
At that point, I was writing down keywords to just remember what to search because I wanted to like finish the cat thread.
Yep.
But then I didn't want to jump over to, I didn't want to forget what I wanted to jump to next, basically.
Some of the most fruitful searches were just random words put together.
Mm-hmm.
Cat was one. I put in dog, didn't get anything. I put in cat, like 10 results.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then the third result reveals some story of like, oh, you know, Simon's coworker Eric. And then all of a sudden I have a new character. I write it down. I'm focusing on one thing. Like I want to, for example, I spent maybe 30 minutes doing my best to find evidence. So typing in words like fingerprints or murder weapon or knife or whatever until I got what I felt was like a good sense of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, other words are being dropped like Eric, right? So I'm scrolling down. In fact, we have a jumble of notes right now that we'll include on the website.
Yep.
But there's like, I wrote down Eric and Simon and Florence and like all these specific words to remind myself later on.
Yeah. There's also just some visual aspects that I wanted to get your thoughts on. It's a CRT TV. There's kind of like this weird arcade filter on it. And I played around with turning that on and off.
Yeah.
What did you do for
I had the filter on the entire time.
Okay. Yeah. I turned it off so that it just for a while so that it just looked very much like an old Windows 95 screen.
Yeah.
But also you're in this archive and there's fluorescent lights causing a glare onto the screen. The screen is like a little scratched up and stuff. Yep. And I was wondering, like, at that point, the aesthetic of the game almost becomes a mechanic because it's actually hard to look at the screen for that long.
Yep.
Like the lights flicker.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to see some of the videos because the fluorescent light is right above someone's face. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing.
In that way, it's almost theatrical in its execution, right? Like Sleep No More, that sort of interactive play that is so awesome in New York City. In a way, like, if you are feeling the vibe, if you're like set in that mood and you're having a hard time reading the screen, that's a cool way of engaging with like the actual physical aesthetic of the game or the visual aesthetic of the game.
It was also very interesting to me that the game simulated all of the noises as well. Like, if you type on the keyboard, it makes keyboard noises from the game,
which I really enjoy. Yeah. By the way,
it's very. Again, it's not bespoke in the way that like Bioshock Infinite is like meticulously designed. It's meticulously designed in all the tiny ways.
Yes,
you know, like the little flickering and like the little typing. It's I was impressed with like how deep Sam went into that metaphor, basically.
Yeah, and like there's the flickering, for example, right? Sometimes the flickering will reveal a reflection
exactly
in the screen. And I learned afterwards that the reflection only happens when you've watched a video of some significant importance to the main storyline.
I could tell that, and you can also tell that the music is cued off of certain things that you see. I was actually interested that there was music at all.
Yeah.
Because there wouldn't have been music in this area.
Maybe the player has like an iPod or something, you know?
Yeah, it was an interesting mix of something that, like, everything is diegetic, except every once in a while there's kind of like a stinger of like, ooh, something mysterious happened.
Yeah.
So let me give you my take on this as a computer simulation.
Okay.
Both George and I, educated folks that we are,
yes,
have spent many, many hours in various archives and libraries and things like that.
Indeed. Too many.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen it all, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I liked about this was that it did feel somewhat like a janky old database. And this was the first game in a long time where I've even had to write things down outside of the game in order to play it.
Yes.
That being said, this... I almost feel like the setting and aesthetic of this game undercuts the game's story because this is not how archives work. You know, like the first thing I tried to do was type in /dir. Like, I just want a directory.
Yep.
Like, I just started typing help or question mark or whatever.
I did the same thing,
And it's like, you know, I've used the oldest ass versions of proprietary archival systems from the University of California, or from other, you know, universities abroad. You know, like, I've seen a lot of different versions of this thing.
Right.
And they almost always err on the side of a glut of information.
Yeah.
Rather than you having to hunting and pecking. And so I was like, you know, if I was actually doing this in real life, I would just type /dir and get an entire chronological list of all these videos and watch them in sequence.
Right.
And it's like, I get why that would destroy the game.
Yes, that would also be like a really boring experience.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, what are we trying to... This is not a detective simulator, even though it's trying to instill some feelings of being a detective. Because as a detective, and you and I know, I have a goddamn higher degree in history. Like, it is boring, right?
Yes,
like, I mean, you arrange things in order and then you go through them meticulously.
I think that's a really important statement you made, that this is not a detective simulator, even though it's a detective game.
Yeah.
Like, the act of being... in fact, I would love to hear from an actual homicide detective what they thought of her story, but this is terrible.
Yeah.
Why did they get rid of the database? Like, damn it, Jenkins, I told you to file that away. What it does create, though, is a sort of meta-awareness of the way that your brain works mm-hmm. when interpreting stories.
Yeah.
So this isn't a game about being a detective. It's a game about hearing stories being told and the way that we interpret and compose those stories, right? When you first get into the game, all you know is the name of the game and I think you see one of the very last clips mm-hmm. at the beginning of the episode or the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then you can type in whatever you want. In fact, I think it begins with the word murder in the text field.
It kind of gives you a push off point to be like, okay, here's what you should do.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, this game reminded me of the film The Stories We Tell, which is a documentary that this woman, Sarah Polley, directed about her own father and learning that she was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert real quick for that movie, because I think it's really good and you should watch it without spoilers. So come back in 30 seconds if you haven't. But the documentary is basically about her discovering that her father is not her real father, and she's searching for her fake father.
Mm.
And in the process, she's learning about her mother, who's been dead for many years. So she can't just ask her mom, you know, who's my dad? Why did you sleep with him? Et cetera, et cetera. So she goes through this whole process. And during the film, it shows clips into the past of her mother. And you think, as you're watching it, that, well, this is old actual footage that people filmed of her mother. It turns out at the end that actually the vast majority of that footage was totally fake. She hired an actress to play her mom. And it's really all about the way that different people think of her mom, but none of it is accurate, right? So in a lot of ways, I think her story is like that in the sense that you're not being a detective to figure out who killed Simon. I actually think you probably figure that information out relatively quickly. You're really doing it to figure out, well, who's who and why are they doing it? Which does in fact tie into the actual like story of this in terms of who you are as a player, which is revealed during the course of the game. That's the important part, right? Like you're not meant to solve the murder. You're meant to find some other information out. And as a result, you sort of patch things together. Sometimes, for example, I spent time learning about these side characters that ultimately have no part in the murder to play. And at some point you realize, okay, yes, they didn't play a part in the murder. Is it still worth watching those videos, right? Like I searched Eric a bunch of times. He's ultimately, well, he may or may not ultimately be important to the story, but it was something that I dove into not knowing because I'm curious, well, who is this guy and how does he fit into the sort of greater picture?
Yeah. I think... And again, I don't want to turn this into like a research simulator or whatever, but I almost feel like, and for actually, there's a couple reasons around the plot where I feel like...
By the way, Research Simulator 2016.
Yeah,
like, look for it on Steam.
Ugh, so much LexisNexis. I think that there are also some aspects of the plot that illustrate just how important art style and setting and genre are to mechanics because I am almost always of the opinion, oh, the mechanics are the best thing about a game, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you were to flip this story and put it in a kind of Game of Thrones world or a fantasy world or something like that, I would have a lot easier time saying like, well, you're going through this memory stone and you can only access certain parts of it. And that's why it's jumbled because if it's a computer, that is a system,
right?
You know, like, it's harder for me to buy into this contrived computer than it would be to buy into, like, you know, touch your hand to the Sia stone and find your mother.
Yeah, but then you're playing like weird, stupid fantasy story.
But that's, I don't really care because I like the mechanic of this. It's just that the theme is so powerful that it calls into question why the mechanics are even there.
That's true.
And like, did you ever use the like database visualization?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, that's just a nod to the fact that this computer system doesn't work like a computer because it has to give you some sort of linear setting, right?
I mean, it shows you a linear.
I know.
Track. You just can't select which of those videos to watch.
Exactly. Which is why, like, if you know those things
because
are there,
because you're playing a game and that's the way of tracking your progress.
Right. Well, and it's like, if this was a computer, you would just know, okay, I'm going to arrange this from C1 to C182 and I'm just going to go through them.
Yeah. I mean, after I finished the game, I was thinking about ways that this detective story could be told in other formats.
Yeah.
Right. And the idea of a research simulator or the glut of information is an interesting one because in this game, there's a lot of videos that don't matter.
Yeah.
But it's relatively easy to separate the wheat from the chaff in those cases.
Yeah.
Did you ever type the word no in question marks? This isn't a major spoiler, so no worries here.
If
you type the word no or the word yes in quotation marks, where it's just that single word, what you get is four videos each of a polygraph test. And the only each video lasts like 2 seconds, like, yes, and it's just no. You don't know what the questions that's are. That's eight of the whatever total number of videos that are essentially now useless, right? Other than illuminating the fact that she went through a polygraph test. That's an interesting perspective, but because you can now separate those words, and we can also say you can tag them, so you can almost...
Did you use the user tags a lot?
I did, yeah. Not a lot, but I did, especially early on.
Once or twice I did. Yeah. Then I kind of fell off once I thought I understood the plot.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. Which is interesting, because then you basically are making a better computer, because you're adding search terms that are actually valuable.
Which, again, is not how databases work.
Definitely
like,
not.
You know, like, you can't... it's very... I mean, you can in some respects, but these old systems are generally really poor for customization.
But what would be interesting is playing a similar detective story, but you have all the information. You just need to know where to look, right? So the way that actual old detective cases generally work that aren't digitized is you have to go into a file, read that whole file, and then spend a week waiting to get the next file, right? That delay, there's no delay in this game.
Right.
But the delay, I think, could have been a somewhat interesting alternative, mechanically speaking. Yeah. If you got a, you know, here are 10 videos in a row that are in linear format. Feel free to watch all of them.
Yeah.
But you can only ever check out from inventory these 10 videos.
Yeah.
So here's a list of like a few keywords and timestamps. Which next set of 10 do you want?
Yeah.
That jumping back and forth might have been an interesting way to go through that story.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a different story, because I think there's something about searching for words and the way that we patch words together that, again, is part of the point, right? Mm. But mechanically speaking, maybe that would have felt like a better experience in terms of believing the gimmick or the premise of the game.
Yeah. And again, I actually enjoyed the game quite a bit. I think it's mostly just a good case study in how powerful art can be.
Yes.
Like, and I'm not talking about art as in like big A art, but just like the art assets in a game can make a huge impact on how you interpret what the actions are in
Absolutely.
The game.
Yeah. I mean, even the room settings, like the way that she fiddles with her coffee and stuff, like there's some really awesome like blocking that's done in this game that just mad respect for knowing that. Basically, it's almost like Sam Barlow knows exactly why all the pieces are important that are on sort of in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are important at the same time, but like he gives attention to every little piece, right? Even the clothes they're wearing.
Yeah.
Like one of the, well...
Maybe we should just go into the story.
Yeah,
I think
it's about time we get into the story.
Yeah.
I just want to say I think it's a super interesting game.
Oh, yeah. People should play it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Maybe not for everybody, but super, super interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say before we go into spoilers, too, is... I feel like most everybody, and I'm willing to make a safe bet, 95% of people who listen to this podcast at some point or another thought seriously about going into homicide detective. It is the fantasy of anybody who's even a little bit intellectually minded.
Oh yeah.
Everybody like you watch a detective drama like The Wire or something, you go, yeah, I could be a homicide detective. I could solve a fucking murder.
I could be David Caruso.
I could be David Caruso. Yeah. everybody wants to do that. And for a little while, like, you get to, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So, spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning for right here. Her story. Yeah. So, going back, it's just, we won't jump into the main storyline yet, but one of the ways that I like the way that the mechanics and art meshed with the story is I started writing down, like, little details that if someone saw my notes on the table would make them think I'm a fucking crazy person. Like, I wrote, like, Eve, blue. Like, I started writing descriptions. I wrote this... I have a note that's dedicated to Simon that's like, he's clean, he has no tattoos, he has a stomach scar, he wears glasses, he doesn't play music because he's tone deaf, just in case an story interfered with another one.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you do notice those differences. You do start recognizing, oh, she's wearing blue right now. It's
the ring.
The ring. Yeah. Oh, see, I didn't even write down the fucking ring. There's, like, so many, like, little tidbits. So.
Yeah. Okay, where do we even start? I mean, so it starts off, there's a distraught woman, Hannah, and you can kind of jump around in time a little bit, and the earlier, I think it's like mid-June, she's going into the police to kind of report a missing person.
Yeah, I mean, she goes in like the day after someone's missing.
Yeah, and then through kind of early July, from June to July, they figure out that her husband, Simon, has been murdered, and they find him in a house, and then the detective who's doing all this interviewing is trying to figure out what happened, and it continues to interview who he thinks is Hannah, and then maybe he interviews someone else too.
Yes. Yeah. Because the big twist is you find out Hannah has an identical twin.
Yeah.
And her identical twin's name is Eve.
Yeah.
And Eve has been pretending to be Hannah at certain points.
I mean,
in the story.
Yeah, they've been pretending to be each other since childhood, apparently.
Yes. You know? Yeah. And then it's interesting because the moment that happens, you go, oh, maybe there's like split personality. I don't think that's the answer because it's easy and dumb.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I don't think there's split personality either because there's a sequence where.
The bruise.
Yeah, exactly. And they go back and forth.
Yeah. So there's all these moments. And then the moment. And this is great in any sort of piece of fiction, I think. But the moment you realize, oh, I can't trust this person. Yeah. So I have to start verifying things in other ways.
Yeah.
Or maybe you think in this moment you can trust her based upon her acting. Mm-hmm. Right? Like there's all sorts of cool stuff that you can do. There are a bunch of moments that occur throughout the game that sort of open it up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you realize, when you hear the name Eric and you start searching Eric and you get like 14 different clips.
Mm-hmm.
Or you type in the words like Simon's parents,
mm-hmm.
and you hear, or you, the word Glasgow, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear the word Glasgow, and all of a sudden, there's a whole nother path to go on. The biggest twist, of course, is that she has an identical twin. That happens pretty early on in the game, and then all of a sudden, you're sort of searching for, well, who's Eve and who's Hannah?
Yep.
And they have different characteristics, right? Like, Eve has a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, each of them are good at one thing or another, so I started looking like, well, who's good at what?
Right.
And slowly you can piece together, okay, in these sections, this is probably Eve. In these sections, it's probably Hannah.
Yeah.
So, for example, you learn pretty quick, the very first person interviewed is probably Eve, not Hannah at all. Second person, probably Hannah, because she's bruised. Third person, Eve, so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and plus, like, Eve supposedly has a more, like, outgoing kind of, she's a better liar, almost,
yes,
so, like, they would send her in, and, yeah. I mean, so this is the other thing that I was thinking about, like, this is another point where it's like, man, I would kind of way more believe this if it was in a fantasy or sci-fi realm.
Mm.
Like, they're, you know, the story is expecting us to believe that twins can masquerade as each other for decades, live in the same house as each other, one is in the attic the whole time, and the parents never notice. Like, it's so... It's very much a fairy tale, and fairy tales are within.
Well, did type in the word fairy tale.
I did, but it's like, man, like this is like, it's very British culturally.
Yes.
Like in its tone.
Well, I mean, I even love that if you type in mom, you won't get anything.
Right.
If you type in mum, you will get things.
And so, at that point, I would have rather had it be more of a fantasy because in my head, it's like, they could have never pulled this off, like this many decades, like. The floorboards never creak in the attic? Like, is that like what we're supposed to believe?
I mean, you sometimes hear like weird stories and stuff, right? And you're like, maybe it's 80s. I think one of the reasons they set it for the somewhat modern time, though, is, I mean, ultimately the story is about like what two sisters do for one another and how they identify with one another. I think if it were a fantasy realm or a sci-fi realm, like that wouldn't, it just wouldn't strike as true, you know?
I suppose
like a sort of familial, low-scale story.
But I mean, they had to set it in the era. So, like, the game had to be set in the era that it was set in because you need the construct of the database in order to get all these things. And unless you do that, then you do need to have some, look into the Palantir and look at, and, you know, find the...
I think a sci-fi maybe would have been better than fantasy.
I mean...
At least sci-fi could be like, oh, the system's corrupted or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you can say, oh, well, you know... They just went to, you know, Splice-O-Matic and made sure to correct each other's, like, facial features so they look exactly the same. You know, it's like, I don't know, like, there are certain...
They could have been clones in a sci-fi story.
They easily could have been clones. Like, oh, like, Eve stands up and she doesn't have a belly button.
Oh my God!
She's
a test tube, baby!
There are certain things where it's like, it requires fairy tale-like leaps of logic in an era that feels so gritty and grounded that was... That brought me out of the story every once in a while until I just was like, screw it. I'm not going to think about this anymore.
And I think that's true even of like a lot of the thematic stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like the mirror, the fairy tale stuff. Like, good God. Like sometimes she says things that's like, oh, wow, I get what you did there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like she talks about, oh, when I was a kid, I wanted to be the person in my mirror, right? Or in one of the early ones that I discovered, Hannah's like, Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, it's a palindrome. It's the same forwards and backwards. Interesting. So is Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and also, you are the same forwards and backwards in the mirror.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You're a reflection of the thing.
Like certain things don't match. Like, there's all sorts of doubles that goes on. And in many ways, it feels like This could be a novelization, right? Like, yeah. This could be a short story.
And you can switch chapter to chapter and not tell the reader. And
precisely, just, yeah. And afterwards you'd be like, well, that's a... Maybe it's a little bit gimmicky, but that's a cool story. Like, yeah. I think you can learn a lot from storytelling by that because there's so many allusions, right? Like, it's something you might read in high school.
Yeah, agreed.
This is something that maybe people should play in high school. Yeah. I don't know.
That'd be a cool class.
It doesn't necessarily hit with the same, realism as, like, some other works, but... In some ways, I was also thinking of like Ian McEwan, whose like early novels were really bizarre and weird and somewhat unbelievable. Like, but that's fine, you know. Like, that's sort of what's that just uses a vehicle for like something that's much more dramatic.
And if you give it up, it's fine because at a certain point, when I kind of decided to just wholeheartedly stop thinking about that aspect, I was like, like, maybe her husband had a twin, too. Like, I just started going, you know, like, I just started going crazy with it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's fine. It's just, you have to make that leap in order for things to piece together. Okay. I want to make sure that I know what's going on.
Okay.
In this
do you want to start, and then I'll...
Sure.
I feel 100%.
You're 100% confident? Well, you're
99% confident, yes.
So...
I got through a lot of the videos.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't do 100% of
the
videos.
No, I didn't either. That's quite a bit, did you see the credits?
Yeah.
Okay, so after the credits, you get the ability to do to watch 15 videos instead of just the 5.
Yeah, which is, again, another one of the things that bugged me about the interface.
Yes, well, that's clearly just like a post-game, like, here you can see all the videos. Side note, did you watch the guitar scene?
Yeah, both of them. There's two.
Yep.
I mean, Hannah and Eva were separated at
just
birth.
Just Eve.
Sorry, Eve, yeah. They were separated at birth.
Correct.
And kept from each other, but still were, like, close in the same town.
Yeah, and Florence, the nurse, took Eve.
Yeah, because she was, you know, a widow or something, and so...
She's like a weird old lady.
Yeah, there's some question as to whether she just kidnapped her or something like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the two children found each other, but... They realized that no one knew that they knew that they were twins.
Yes.
And so they used that knowledge to just inhabit each other's lives every once in a while.
Which, by the way, would be fucking cool.
And so they had a set of rules. They would write everything down in a diary to make sure that their stories were always straight.
My favorite piece connected to that, which I think is just so dramatic and just delicious in terms of like the awesome, weird, creepy noir thing, is she says... if one of us got hurt, the other would have to get that same hurt.
Oh, yeah. They would, like, punch each other and stuff.
She says, if one of us lost a tooth, the other would pull out that tooth. That is so fucking cool. Yeah. I love that idea.
They would, like, date the same boys. Yeah. Like, they...
I mean, they even, in fact, when they eventually meet Simon, Hannah asks Eve to ask Simon out for her.
Yeah. And so at a certain point, though, Hannah actually doesn't want to share Simon.
Correct.
And that I actually have an index card that just says the rules because Eve was saying, oh, she broke the rules. That was one of the rules. Like, you know, you can't keep a boy to yourself or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, they must have like these codex of rules that they only really had that one.
I think the one rule is we share everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's like some like semi like. Rules like the tapping code that they use to communicate to each other, which I deciphered a little bit.
So did I. Yeah.
And then I was like, man, fuck this. So I looked it up on the internet and got the rest of the words because it was taking a long time. But like, it was just like a basic tap cipher thing.
Yeah, I think she says like bad Hannah. I don't know.
I think she says bye.
Oh, okay.
I think she says bye, and the other one says like love or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, in that scene where Hannah was like sprawled out on the desk tapping, she wasn't just nervous. She was pretending that she was talking to her sister.
Yeah.
Or maybe she was talking to her sister, like was in the other room or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, in that scene too, like the detective leaves. Like you can find a video right before that. So this is like the one moment where she sort of breaks down and is like, oh, Hannah, like why? She says, Hannah, why were you talking about Eve?
Yeah.
Because she knows her sister fucked up. Like she broke the story that they were developing for the cops.
Yeah.
We're jumping ahead. Continue. Yeah.
So Hannah wants to get together with Simon just on her own.
Yep.
And then, so that creates some tension, but then she actually gets pregnant.
She does.
And they're like 17 or something at the time, so they're pretty young. They move into Simon's parents' house, and Eve and Hannah don't really know what to do, because it's like, how can we be the same? Yeah, we can't fake a pregnancy. Eve starts to just try to have sex with like a crazy amount of guys because she just needs to get pregnant as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. She's kind of, you know, trying to sneak in and out of the house and stuff. Like, they're just having a really hard time. Until Hannah has a miscarriage, which kind of equalizes them again. But...
And it's sort of, that's kind of sad.
Yeah,
sad.
It's messed up.
I mean, the story is sad, I should say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a tragedy. But they're still in this pickle because Simon and Hannah are still married. They're mm-hmm. still living with the parents. And Eve is just kind of floating around. She's like sings at bars. Yeah. She's kind of like a performer.
For a while, she lives. Yeah, yeah. For a while, Eve lives in her old Hannah's parents' house, her real parents' yes. house, still in the attic.
Right.
And then I don't know if you got this part, but I think she kills her parents.
Oh yeah, because I mean they were because Eve and Hannah's parents. Hannah's dad likes to grow mushrooms or whatever, right. And then somehow one day they eat some bad death cap mushrooms, and it's like, if this guy's an expert in mushrooms, like, they would have never eaten this. Right. Like, Eve did this.
Which
somehow.
I presume she does so she can continue living in the house.
Right, without being found out.
But then Hannah moves back into that house because they inherit it with Simon.
Right, and so...
So in a way, she did it so she can be with her sister again.
Yeah, and also to... Yeah, exactly, to keep the mystery going and to do that. So, let's see. So years and years go by. It's like 10 years or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, Eve has her own place.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, they're still in this like prolonged nebulous, like, how are we going to deal with this? Until Simon happens upon Eve at a bar that he goes to because she just happened to be singing there.
Yeah. And she's wearing a blonde wig.
Right.
Yeah, because Simon's into blondes.
Apparently, even though it's a brunette. So Simon is smitten with Eve in disguise, and they start to fall in love, and Eve actually starts, even though she knows who Simon is, carries on with it.
Yep.
Now, I may not have watched this, but does Simon actually cheat, or does Eve fake her
Ooh.
Person into being Hannah? Because at one point, Eve gets pregnant with Simon's kid.
Yes. They actually have sex.
They do. Yeah. So, yeah. They do have sex. I never was able to piece together whether Simon thought that he was cheating or that Eve masqueraded into their house.
No. So, yeah. So this is important for the rest of what goes down. So Simon thought that Eve was a different person. Some blonde who happened to look like his wife.
Yeah. Well, okay, because I thought that was the case because then Hannah pretends to be Eve dressed up in the wig to confront Simon.
Yeah, so what happens, so the sequence of events is this, right? Hannah gets pregnant from Simon. Hannah
Eve
tells Eve, like, hey, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Eve, in her excitement, decides to tell Simon, I have this sister, I'm coming clean, it's a twin sister, she's pregnant, you've never heard about her, we're identical, I'm bringing her in. Simon hears that his wife has a twin sister and he realizes, oh shit,
mm-hmm.
I just knocked up my waifu's sister, this ain't gonna be good for me, I should get out of Dodge, right? At that point, Hannah knows, Simon had sex with my sister.
Yeah. And then...
So she puts on the wig to confront him.
Hannah pretends to be Eve in Eve's disguise.
Yes.
To confront. And he gives her the same mirror that, you know, he gave...
This unique gift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He gives his mistress the same, supposedly, from the heart, you know, unique gift that he gives his own wife. And then I'm assuming that's when the murder happens?
Yes.
And Hannah actually does it.
Yeah, they get in a fight.
Yeah.
The mirror breaks.
Right.
She uses a piece of the mirror to, like, scare him away and accidentally... I mean, again, this
supposedly.
Could all be a lie. Yeah,
right,
but
exactly.
Allegedly, based upon Eve's story for Hannah,
she
accidentally kills Simon.
Yeah. And then there's, like, this kind of cleanup, right?
Yep.
Where I'm a little sketchy on the details of, like, who did what, because...
Yeah, so they... Hannah goes to Glasgow to have an excuse for and proof and gets intentionally in a car accident.
As like an alibi for like what's happening.
Because she thinks the detectives think they're one person.
Right. While Eve stashes the body in the cellar of the house that that they're living in.
Correct.
And then they kind of want a little bit of suspicion because it makes them... It theoretically will throw the police off the track if they're trying to find this Glasgow connection.
Yeah.
When actually the body's hiding under their noses the
whole
time. The
idea, as soon as they say, oh, I was in Glasgow at the time, and the cops believe it, they'll stop asking questions.
Right. Or they'll at least start asking questions about the wrong thing, and then never, you know, because they're able, she has an alibi, someone that looked like Hannah. Hannah was in Glasgow, but Eve was also able to take care of it at the same time, you know, on the back end. And they were able to share the stories so they know exactly what's happening. So if Eve has to be questioned, she knows the Glasgow story.
Yes.
Yes. Very complicated.
Very complicated.
Should have just used acid or something.
Listen, let me tell you how to bury a body. Or
dispose of a body, man.
Well, they Googled it, but they only got 5 results, and they were totally out of order. And then what happens... They apparently at some point the cop discovers there's 2 people.
Yeah.
They come clean. Eve specifically comes clean, allegedly. And Hannah's gone. She left at some point. So they say she'll never see her again.
Yeah. Well, and Eve says something like, oh, you don't actually believe this. I've just been telling you stories, you know, like, so it's.
Well, they go to arrest her and she's like, I'd like a lawyer now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, she realizes why she's sitting in that room.
Right.
And it's like, I need to stop talking immediately.
Right.
I mean, I think the overall lesson of this story is that just don't talk to the police without a lawyer.
In all seriousness, there's great videos online. There's this great lecture by this guy. He's a lawyer and he's talking to the college class about police. And he's like, okay, first things up, don't talk to the police.
Yeah.
Second thing, don't talk to the police without a lawyer. Third thing, do not. I will go to your house and beat you down. Never talk to the police without a lawyer.
Yeah, it's just so funny that they tried to pull this whole thing off, whereas if they were just to stop talking about it.
If I'm ever accused of anything, I'm going to lawyer up so fast.
Especially since George has been masquerading as my life. Well,
final piece of story, though. It turns out, in all likelihood, once you conclude the game, that the person who was searching for all of this is Eve's daughter, Sarah, which is the name that they were going to name Hannah's child.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of cool. That's a cool full circle thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the story. I have a twin sister. You have a brother.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I would probably hide a murder. One of the reasons I like the story is because at one point, Eve, again, presumably, is being interviewed at the end. It's one of the last videos. And she says, at that point, I made the decision that Hannah was more important than Simon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird thing to do or say, and I find that super interesting, and I've seen it in a few other like stories, like movies and TV and stuff, but the moment where you're like, you have to make a call of like, there are 2 people I love this person more.
Yeah.
That's kind of badass to have to make that call.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody with a twin, and I feel like I'm super close to her, there are those times where you know what, like if I had to make a call, sorry, Scott. You know what I mean? Like, bye. You know, cliffhanger moment or whatever.
I feel like what they did well with that is the mixture where you can be just so resentful and mad at someone and yet still feel the love/obligation of you have to be on their side regardless of what is happening.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear, too, that Eve loved Simon. Like she really loved him and was hoping that maybe they could be together, right?
Yeah. Well, there's even this fantasy where like maybe they could be together but forever pretend like they're the same person.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just kind of this sad, like they're trying to keep this illusion going for as long as possible. You know?
And part of it is born out of like clearly they were probably neglected as kids. Eve certainly was. Like it's kind of a tragic thing. And then their identities were so fused together that when they split up, like I think there's moments where she's talking about that particular moment when they had to split up and how traumatizing it was.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Like I remember in kindergarten when they like separated me and my twin sister into different classes.
Yeah.
I was devastated. Yeah. I was like so traumatized.
Yeah.
I even told my coworker who's having twins now, I was like, dude, whatever you do, don't separate them, man. Like that's fucking, I'm like turning 31 and it's still like traumatic thinking about that moment.
They're never going to be able to pilot a Jaeger if you separate
exactly.
them.
Exactly. How are they going to be drift compatible?
Yeah.
Come on now. I want to end it with one more declaration that I think Viva Cypher's performance is fucking stellar.
The whole thing basically rides on her.
Yeah.
You know, she's the only speaking character in the entire game.
Does this game make you want more FMV video games?
I always want more FMV video games.
Please.
I mean, I think this is like again, this is the type of game where it's like, hey, this is a big medium, yeah. You know, this, and I really liked playing this game. And at the end of this game, I had this huge list of cue cards, and then I took a look and a picture at them. Then I went and sat down and played some Rocket League. Yeah. You know, like, this is, like, a great breadth of, like, what 100%. You can do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a game that is super, actually, like, that attention to detail, the amount of work that he must have put in has got to be phenomenally large. Especially the script and making sure that everything works functionally.
Tens of thousands of words that maybe not even, you know, people won't even see half of, you know.
On top of that, though, this is also the type of story that I feel opens people up to the idea that they could make a game, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a piece of interactive fiction, and ultimately, you know, it's a unique or different way of thinking about how to get information and piece things together.
Yeah.
It doesn't require some crazy amount of in-depth knowledge, right?
Or just, like, write something. Like, you have a dream, start writing it down. You know, like, it's, you don't, it doesn't.
God, it's Tom Cruise again, and his shirt's off, and he's riding a killer whale.
God, day 487. Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, the scale of this game does not preclude it from having a very realized world, even though it is a single computer screen and two sets of blank interview rooms.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can have something as sprawling as The Witcher or something as compact as her story, and it still feels cohesive.
Yeah. So what's next? His story?
His
story. It's Simon. It's like, oh man, those scissors are fucking nuts.
Little did they know, I have triplets.
He killed my brother when I was out for revenge. It's a first-person shooter.
Simon's Quest. Her story too.
Simon's Quest.
God damn it. Ugh, that's the best thing I'll ever say this week.
That is.
All right, we will leave it there. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our interview room.
Yeah.
You can come on down and get interrogated. You're on your very own.
Yeah, interrogate us. Just start typing random words into the comment section.
In fact, and also I would suggest you type random words into our reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. If you do that, I will know that you listened to this particular episode, and I will call out you in thanks. Personally on air.
Cat, knife, murder, artichoke.
Yeah, I was like, oh yes, everyone thumbs up that review.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will be talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 12th, 2015, and we're going to boot up our Windows 95 instance to look for her story.
Beep, beep, beep.
Bring.
Clippy again.
Fucking
Clippy.
Clippy was the murderer.
Clippy murdered them.
Fucking Clippy.
You know too much. I don't know why Clippy sounds a bit like Mario.
It looks like you're trying to cover up a murder.
Yeah. Delete your browser history, please.